On today's episode of the podcast, I, as usual, get very real and intimate with you. I share a fairly vulnerable struggle that I'm sitting with right now, and it's one that I know I'm not alone in. How do we navigate the suffering and injustice of this world while also remaining grounded, while also staying grateful for the beautiful things that we have in our lives? How do we move forward every single day, knowing that there is so much pain almost everywhere we look? I talk a lot about my love for nature on this show, my love specifically for the forest, and about the injustice and destruction of the forest that's happening here, right where I live, and how that resonates so much for me with really the state of the world right now. So how can we be really solid, good human beings and be of service without feeling completely hopeless and falling into despair? It's a question I haven't been able to answer completely, but I do my best here on this show. What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at hero.co. Hello, hello, my darling friends. How are you? Welcome back to the show. I am sitting here right now laughing at myself because I'm having one of those mornings where I just can't. It's like my brain is not screwed on right. Like I have literally recorded the intro to this podcast 7 times now. And I can't get the words to come out right. I'm like stumbling over my words. I don't know what I'm talking about. I keep like hitting stop on the recorder and then like, okay, I'm starting over. I took a little break and I asked Dennis to make me a matcha latte. I'm like, I need some focus. I'm in a matcha stage right now. I cycle through cappuccinos and then matcha lattes in the morning, and I'm definitely in a matcha phase now, which is just wonderful. I feel so good drinking my matcha every day, and it normally gives me like a sense of focus, you know, not that like wired awakeness that you get from an espresso, but just like this heightened focus and kind of some energy, you know. I don't know if it's working, but hey, I have words coming out of my mouth now, and I hope you can understand me. So maybe it's working. Honestly, what I think I need, and I'm hoping maybe you need too, is just a little moment to ground. Yeah, just a little moment. You know, we used to do this at the beginning of every single episode, every week, every Friday. Every show began with a 5, 10, 15 minute meditation practice. And I think the reason I always used to do that is because I really needed it. You know, that little place to ground before getting into the real stuff, you know. And I had a lot less space in my day then, you know. So it became this very beautiful ritual to have, to just kind of rush into that, okay, I have a window for the podcast. And I was like, oh, let's go. And then a moment to ground. But then now I have a lot of grounding moments in my day. I have a lot of space in my day. So I rarely sense that need when I sit down to talk to you. But I do now. So I'm going to lean into that. And leaning into that, as I do that, I'm physically leaning a little bit further back into my chair. I'm sitting in a really comfy chair. I have some pillows around me, and I'm just kind of letting the weight of my upper back, the weight of my seat, just sink a little bit deeper into the chair. And see if you can make some space for your body to soften too. It could be something very little. You know, maybe you just turn the palms of the hands facing up in your lap and relax your elbows and your hands. You can soften your face. See if there's any tension around the neck or any just slight repositioning that your head or neck is looking for to feel a little bit more spacious. And then when you arrive at a place that feels closer to you, you can close your eyes. Let's take some deep, slow breaths right here. And see if you can let the breath grow on its own. Instead of trying to make the breath into something that it's not right now, can you get out of the way a little bit? Is there any limiting thoughts or storylines moving in your mind right now that maybe is keeping your breath a little bit restricted? Is there tension in the body that's making it harder to take those deep breaths? See if you can just by softening, by continuing to make space inside, allow the breath to grow more expansive on its own. Remembering that your body's natural state of breath is deep and full and long and spacious. Your whole entire being craves these deep, slow breaths every moment of the day. So just letting yourself arrive there, letting things unfold into that more natural place of depth. And with every inhale you take, with every exhale, you are allowing yourself to arrive at a place that feels closer to truth. When we get really present in our own bodies, when we get present with the breath, it's much harder to pretend, right? Any walls that we're holding up around ourselves right now, any ideas we have about keeping it together or acting in a certain way. It's very hard to be completely present with your body, in your own being, and not be truthful to what's happening inside of yourself. So just let yourself unravel a little bit. Unravel as a good thing. Unravel as letting parts of you that aren't true just fall away for a little while. Maybe you're walking through your life right now, keeping a really brave face. Maybe you're moving through your day, holding up your heart like armor. You know, maybe you feel the need to be really strong and really rigid right now to make it through something hard in your life. Maybe you feel like you have to be okay all the time, even when there are times when you're not. Maybe there's a story you're telling yourself right now that simply isn't in alignment with what's actually happening within. So let any untruths, let those layers, let those walls, let them unravel a little bit. Let whatever isn't true to your highest, most authentic self, let all of that fall away. And as you get closer and closer to your own heart, closer and closer to yourself, your real self, how are you doing today? How are you doing right now? And if you like, you can place a hand to your heart center, just a hand directly on top of the chest, and ask yourself that question until you get to the truth. How are you right now? How are you really? And as you feel the answer to this very simple but highly complex question, as you feel it begin to rise through your system all the way up to the surface, whatever is there, I want you to take the next few minutes, or as long as you can really, to just allow yourself to be this way. So that means if you're putting on a brave face right now, but actually deep down you're feeling terrified, you're scared, you're worried, you're anxious, then let yourself be worried. For a little while, allow that fear to be where it is, as it is. If you're telling yourself everything's okay, you're totally fine, 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 but actually you're not fine. Maybe you're sad. No, maybe you're grieving something. Let that sadness come out. And if the truth of how you're feeling right now is you're feeling so blissful, right? Joyful, maybe happiness is here. Then let that feeling take up the space it deserves. Let every feeling take up the space it deserves. Hold yourself in the truth of this moment. You are perfect just the way you are. Everything you're feeling right now, this big feeling, this big truth inside of you right now, makes absolute sense. I mean, how could you possibly feel any other way than this? Of course you feel this way right now. Of course. So much has unfolded in your life, in your day, inside of yourself, of course you feel this way. So take a moment just to validate your own feeling. Give yourself permission to feel what's here. And keeping your hand there to your heart, for as long as it feels bearable, for as long as it feels okay, manageable, stay with the feeling. Yeah, without having to fix it, without having to shrink it, without having to escape in any way. Let's take one more deep, long breath, all of us listening to these words here now. Inhale. And open the mouth. Exhale. Now you can stay here with your eyes closed, hand to your heart. If you want to blink the eyes open and orient yourself a little bit in your space, take a few moments to come back. Hi. Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply. Oh, wow. What a week. What a day it is, and what a week it's been. In this moment when I, you know, as I'm sitting here holding my hand to my heart, I'm feeling a little bit confused right now, which is probably why I had a hard time getting my words to come out at the beginning of the show. But yeah, I'm sensing this kind of contrasting duality inside of myself. I'm feeling, at the same time, I'm feeling really grateful and blissful in my life right now. And I'm also sensing this big pull inside of myself of worry. I'm in a, somehow feeling both content and very worried at the same time. Today, and maybe all week, probably all week. And I really don't, I have this big sense right now that just the state of the world, I feel so concerned right now. And I go through these cycles just like you do, where I feel like there's, you know, everything's gonna be okay, and there's so much goodness in this world, and there are so many people fighting the good fight, and, you know, things are going to end up good and okay, and we are all going to be safe and okay. And then I go through cycles of, well, like, the whole fucking world is falling apart. Like, the amount of suffering in this world is next level, absolutely unbearable to even think about. And I think it's a very hard place that we are in right now as human beings. It's really, really, really hard to human when the world is what the world is. At least that's what I feel. And I think we are going to have to kind of, you know, do the ostrich thing where we stick our heads in the sand, and for a moment we're like, well, what I can't see doesn't really happen, right? And I think that's a coping mechanism where we, after a while, have to turn off the news, right? We have to shift our awareness and attention to where we are right now, what's in front of me in this moment, and then resource ourselves and take care of ourselves and find a sense of grounding, and then bring our heads back out into the world and go, oh, right, it's this shit show, right? It's this level of suffering. That's the world we're in. And be with that, you know, and kind of let our awareness be like that kind of pendulum that swings into reality, and then the reality of the big collective, right? The reality of humanity right now, the reality of the state of this planet right now. And then kind of let that pendulum swing back into our own little bubble, where hopefully in this moment, you know, we and our loved ones are okay, hopefully, you know, which isn't the case for a lot of people over this world. A lot of people don't have the privilege to put their heads in the sand because the suffering is there in their bubble, right? It's like not being able to step out of that, not being able to get reprieve or relief. So many people are living that. And yeah, I'm really, and I talked about this, I don't know if it was last week's podcast or a couple weeks ago, but just this inner struggle that I feel this, yeah, and I'm sure you do too. I know I'm not alone. Talking to my friends, I know I'm not alone. The struggle between allowing happiness and gratitude when things in our bubble are good, right? And not have to minimize that or shrink that because there's so much suffering in the world. Like, who am I to have a good life when there's so much terror everywhere? You know, somehow it's our responsibility to stand in the good life and to use the privilege and the safety and the grounding that we get from that good life to help other people and to do something good for this world. But it's, I don't know, I'm getting to a place now where like an example of that is I walk in the woods every day. Okay, so I walk in the woods every day. Right across our road here where we live, there is a nature preserve. So it will never be touched by anyone. It's not super big, but it's a nature preserve. So it means that you're not allowed to, yeah, you can't bring your dogs in there, for example. You can't break off a twig, you know, from a tree. Like, there's a lot of rules around, you know, it's really a preserved place. And sometimes I just wander in there, right? And because it's a preservation, there aren't a lot of paths, you know, and you're not allowed to bring your dogs there. So I don't always walk there. I often walk into this other little sliver of a forest that's on the other side of where we live, where there's a path and you can bring your dogs and it just has more of like a walking kind of loop. And in this side of the forest, it's a little bit dangerous to walk because so many trees are falling. It's kind of like the forest is collapsing in on itself a little bit. And really, every day I walk, like if I walk the dogs there, maybe I'm there every other day and that specific little, that little trail, every time I'm there, there is a new spruce tree that has fallen and collapsed over the path and I have to kind of walk all the way around. And the reason that is because a couple of years ago, there was this absolutely bizarrely hot summer here in Sweden, like a completely out of the norm, like not normal summer. And Dennis and I, we were actually in Sweden that year. We were in Sweden, I think, for my birthday. So yeah, October. And it was so warm in October that we were like sitting at cafes in Stockholm in our t-shirts in the sun, tanning. Like, it was so hot. And now it's October in Sweden. It's a more normal year. It's freezing outside. Like, Leia's already wearing hats and gloves to go to preschool, you know? But that really hot summer, it caused this big disbalance in the ecosystems of the spruce forests of this region of Sweden, of a lot of the regions of Sweden, where there is this little beetle called it's called a bark beetle, and they live in spruce trees only. Normally, when it gets colder, these beetles, they die off, and then they don't come back until the next year. But because the season was so long, and because the summer was so incredibly hot and dry, and it stayed so hot and dry for so long, these beetles didn't die off. And they ended up reproducing just in massive amounts and have been killing off these spruce trees. Basically, they just kind of drill themselves into the bark of the tree and deplete and, yeah, take all the nutrients from the tree. And I think the tree has a hard time pulling up moisture also from the ground. When this happens, there's a lot of things that happen. But anyway, so that was that year. And then a couple years later, after a thing like that, like an invasion of that kind of disturbance in the ecosystem happens, it takes a few years for the trees to die, right? For them to really fall. And that's happening now, right? So we are seeing these crazy spikes in the weather, right? Like hottest temperatures of all time being recorded all over the world. We're seeing these massive, massive increases of natural disasters and storms and hurricanes and droughts and fires. I mean, it's and floods and everything that comes with this changing climate and with climate change and with global warming. And it's like, for me, this duality comes through. I can walk in the woods here right by my house. And if I stay in these woods right here, right, just where I am, this little piece of the woods where I just happen to be super privileged and blessed to live, it looks like everything is fine, right? Like these woods, this little preserved piece of the forest next to my house, it's so beautiful. It's really abundant. There's moss covering absolutely everything. You know, there's mushrooms everywhere. There's a lot of, in Sweden, you measure the age. I'm sure you do everywhere, but here you measure the age and the kind of forest by how many fallen trees there are that have been allowed to stay for an extended period of time, together with how wide, like the girth of the biggest trees are. And that's how they measure and classify the woods. Is it a, and it's funny how they do it here in Sweden. Like it's the majority of all the woods that are left in the country, literally 85 to 90% of the woods that are left in the country are something called kulturskog, which means a culture forest. And it sounds really nice, right? Like a culture forest, like a cultured forest. That sounds so special. A cultured forest is actually a forest used for the forestry sector, where they take sections and they cut the whole entire forest down. And then they replant this monoculture of one kind of tree. And then they let them grow, you know, to like 40 or 50 years. And then they do it again, you know, and they do it in sections. So it's not like they take the whole entire forest of the whole country at the same time, because then we would have nothing left. But they do it in sections and cycles. And that means that, you know, and they leave these sections for 40, 50, 60 years until they're big enough to become timber and to be cut down. And people actually think that this is a forest. Like people all over think that a kulturskog, like a culture forest, is a forest. And walking into a forest like that, which we have many here, also nearby, it's like all the trees are in perfect rows, right? There is not a lot of other kinds of vegetation, not a lot of other plants, not a lot of other things. It's just, it looks like people think it's really beautiful, you know, like these like strong trees kind of lined up. It looks almost, I don't know, it looks very organized, right? And people like that. So because it's all trees and trees is what makes up a forest, right? People actually believe that these forests that are being processed and cultured for profit, that they are real forests, but they're not. Like it's basically like a monocropped, like they're just growing timber and cutting it down. So there's no real wildlife in these forests. There's no diversity, you know, happening in these forests. There's no real life happening there anymore. And 10 to 15% of the forests left in Sweden are what they call naturskog, which is a nature forest, which is actually a real forest, right? Or kind of as close to real as we can find almost here in this country. So that means that the forest has been untouched for at least 25 years or longer. And most of the nature forests that we have been untouched for longer than that, maybe even a few generations. So that at some point they have been messed with, like the forest has been kind of touched by man, right? But then the forest has been just left alone. And that's the woods that I have where I'm walking the dogs. That's in the naturskog. So you see this like huge abundance of so much, like really, there's all kinds of wildlife and birds and critters and animals and, you know, berries and mushrooms, and the moss really covers everything. It's really beautiful. And then you have these trees falling everywhere. And in a way, it's like, because that forest isn't actually touched by man, right? They're not cutting the trees down to process the woods and then replanting them. They're not touching that little piece where I walk, right? But it's still kind of falling in on itself because of what we have done, right? Because of what society has done, because of the last 100 years of basically shitting all over this planet and not having a single long-term thought, right? So the third kind of forest that we have here is called urskog, which is indigenous forest, like original forest, a forest that was actually always protected, that was never cut down. And 0.5% of the woods in Sweden is urskog. 0.5%. So, and this is, to me, like knowing these facts, it's like it blows my mind to the point that I continuously have to wrap my head around this as a fact, right? So we have 0.5%, and we are so proud of our forest here in Sweden. Like Swedish people, really, it's like the pride and joy of Swedes is how amazing our forest is, and the forest covers almost the entire country. And but it's bullshit, right? Because what covers the entire country isn't actually forest, isn't actually a diverse, real forest. But we have 0.5% of urskog, like a real forest, left 0.5% of the whole country. And then 10 to 15% this kind of forest that's been untouched for decades, nature forest. And then 85 to 90% is processed woods owned by corporations or owned by the government, being processed and used for profit. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. And I'm sharing this now because this for me is such a, it's a really good example of this duality that I feel, this ability to like be in my bubble and then stepping out of the bubble, right? So I go across the road, I step into this like very protected forest, and I feel like, wow, you know, the feeling of just being there. Like I often just lay down flat, like I found like a big bed of moss and I just lay down. And I just, you know, anyone who knows that feeling, you know what I'm talking about. Like Leia does that so naturally. Whenever we walk in the woods, she'll just lie down and just melt and look at the trees sway above. And like that viewpoint, you know, lying in the forest, looking up, it's so different. It's so special. And there is an energy and a quality to these woods that there's something holy about it. Absolutely. And it's not the same as, you know, walking the dogs. I go to the other part of the woods where I walk the dogs and there's trails and roads and there's lots of people walking. It's still woods. It's still really beautiful. But you can already see the impact of environmental destruction happening there, even though these are woods that are, you know, not being cut down at the moment. And then, and this is like hard for me to talk about without crying, I walk a little further and all the trees are cut down. I have all of these dualities really right outside my doorstep. Like I can choose where to go. I can go to a kal hygge, which is like complete deforestation, like an area that has been deforested where every single tree is cut down. And maybe 2-3 years ago, they planted, you know, they replanted the trees as if you can really ever, you know, a tree, you leave a tree alone, that tree will live and stand there for hundreds of years. Like there's a tree next to my dad's house. There's an oak tree next to my dad's house that's 900 years old. A 900 year old oak tree that's still alive. And what each tree does for this planet, like for our ecosystem, for humans, like, you know, I wouldn't be able to breathe this breath that I'm breathing right now if it wasn't for the trees. And I get so emotional talking about this. I've reached a point. I told Dennis the other day, I can't debate like responsible forestry anymore. I can't have conversations about the forest anymore because I just fall apart. I literally just fall apart. And I feel silly falling apart while not here on the pod with you, because I know most of you feel the same way. But when I'm talking to any regular person who is involved with any kind of forestry practice here, there is this idea that to take care of the forest, you have to cut it down. And it's such a ridiculous fucking notion. Like just the, yeah, I get really pissed that they have actually been, they're kidding themselves enough that they actually believe their own lies. You know, to take care of the forest, you have to cut it down. Like if you're a landowner, if you own forest, there's these practices and you know, because most of the woods in Sweden are actually owned by the government and they are the ones doing this. They have millions and millions of dollars that they spend every single year on just marketing to tell the Swedish people that this is what a healthy forest is, to continue supporting these practices, because without these practices, the ecosystem would be out of balance, that they are, you know, pushing these fake bullshit facts that deforestation actually helps the earth. And look at how many trees we're planting. And they're showing these really put together like marketing videos of, you know, these companies planting trees. And it looks very earthy and very like, you know, a real human being holding a little spruce plant and putting that into the earth. And look how many thousands and thousands of trees we're planting. And it's like this is a good thing, you know, cutting down all the forests we have in this whole entire country and all across the fucking world. Like that is a good thing. And I have honestly reached a point where when I talk to people like that who are living with that belief, I get so triggered. I can't do it. And I get really emotional and it's like, yeah, I feel like I can't even have that conversation anymore because it's truly so fucking painful. So anyway, what I do is I look away. And this is, it's like I drive to get Leia at school. There's a whole section that's just been completely cut down, like very recently. And you can still see the trees are lying there waiting to be transported. I literally have to look away because I can't deal. And it's not just this little section of where I live, right? It's the whole entire country and it's the whole entire world. It's like, what is it? Football fields of the Amazon. Like the deforestation happening there every fucking second. It's so big. It's too big for my little human brain to grasp the destruction that we are imposing on this planet. Like, it's too much, it's too big. And if you really hold it, if you really sit with all of it, and I'm talking, you know, nature now, and at the same time, we have people and dictatorships and violence and war and famine and people fleeing their countries and looking for some kind of safety and not receiving that, not having any place to go. And it's just, I don't know. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual. Because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where I'm sitting here today, it's too much. It's too much for my mind to take in, and it's too much for my heart to hold. So then when I look away, it's like, what do I do? Well, okay, I go into the woods, and I go into the part of the woods where everything is beautiful, right? Where I can hug a tree and know that that tree is really old. You know, that this tree was here long, long before my parents were born. Like, I come to this ancient part or the oldest part of the woods where I can find. And I get that moment of reprieve there, and I breathe there. And then I take the dogs for a walk and I walk around those fallen trees and I focus on what really is working, right? And I focus on the life that's here and how quickly nature will regenerate, because she does all the time. And I go to the lake and I take a cold plunge and I go to my garden and I put my hands to the earth and I stay really, like, there is a way for me to stay in a bubble here where I live that makes it look like everything is okay. And it's not. It's fucking not. Like, my bubble is okay because I happen to live this very privileged life. But as a whole, like, this planet is not okay. As a whole, people are not okay. And I'm just deeply struggling with that right now. And the question I'm really sitting with is, you know, for how long? Like, for how long are we kidding ourselves that we can carry on like this? Like, really, when my daughter is a teenager, what kind of a world are we going to be living in? That's not very far away. You know, when she's my age, what is this world going to be like? You know, is she going to have kids of her own? Is she going to be able to have kids of her own? What's the level of disaster and suffering going to be 30 years from now? And it's such a, even though, like, these are very realistic questions to ask, and it's important that we sit with the reality of what this world is. Like, we have to sit with the reality of what this world is, because otherwise nothing changes. We have to be with our own impact. And at the same time, it's like, I don't know, it's so ridiculous. Even like the environmental movement to, like, okay, well, if I just reduce my waste, right? If I, like, I stop asking for a straw when I go to the restaurant, I reduce my waste, then I'm gonna make a difference. Like, that, we're so past that. Like, we should all continue doing those things. But the real issue are these multi-billion dollar corporations that continue doing what they're doing without any kind of consequence. And, like, how is that going to change? You know, how is the world structure going to change? Who's ever going to control the richest of the rich that really run this world? Like, that's, I don't see it. And then we're all kind of led to believe that it's, like, it's my fault, my individual fault. I can make that individual difference. And we all know, like, we're so past that, because even if all of a sudden became the most environmentally responsible people, we still have the same kind of emissions and the same kind of disaster happening from these massive corporations that actually run the whole fucking world. And we're not impacting that by not asking for a straw at the restaurant or by recycling better, you know. And it just, when you look at it from that very realistic perspective, it feels so hopeless, right? It's like the reality, but it's also so hopeless. What are we actually going to do? So then what I do, I feel like Joey and Friends. What episode is that? It's Chandler when he's like, sorry, I'm doing a Friends pivot here. He's at a job interview talking about duties. And the guy says, okay, instead of talking about what you don't do, let's talk about what you do do. Okay. I needed that little break. So what I do, like what I actually do, and this really is, like, these realizations that this is where the world is, it's getting worse, it's really getting harder, it's getting worse, and of course it's getting worse for the people who already have it bad. I'm still sitting here in my very privileged place. If you're listening to this podcast and you have an hour in your day to listen to a podcast, if you have a car, if you have a job, if you have a sense of safety, like, you're privileged too, right? We are. It's these realities, and especially with the urgency of everything that came to surface through the pandemic, that led me to even live in the woods, right? I wouldn't even be living here if it wasn't for that. It was the big realization that living in Aruba, I can't take care of myself. I can't take care of my family. I can't deal with the mountain of trash that we're producing here because there's no form of recycling. Like, we were living our least sustainable lives, unfortunately, living there. Even no matter how many vegetables I grew, like, I couldn't find a balance that felt long-term. And it was that realization that eventually, through a lot of hardship, of course, led us here. And now I live in the woods. So when I feel the hopelessness of all of the real, very real realities happening all around, I focus on making my bubble as big and as sustainable as I can possibly make it. And that's really where all of my focus is, because I can't really control a whole lot other than what's happening in my bubble. And I don't want to live in a bubble. It's not what I'm saying. But in my proximity of my immediate life, the things I can touch, the things I can impact, the things I can affect. And that includes living a life where I am in the woods every day, where I feel so connected and so in love with this beautiful planet that I cry talking about all the ways in which she's hurting. Like, that alone, I know, makes a difference. Like, that heartfelt connection makes a difference, because I vote from that place when it's election time, right? I spend my money from that place. When I spend money, I organize and structure my life from that place. So if we don't have that sense of connection, that presence with nature, we're not going to be able to fight for her. And same goes for humanity, for people, for human beings. Like, we can't stay in our little isolated bubbles thinking of me, myself, and I, and when everything goes to shit, how am I going to take care of myself? You know, and I've had those thoughts, like, if things really go to shit, and what if we become self-sustaining, right? And at least I can always grow food for my own family. And it's like, okay, well, what about the rest of the community then? How much food am I going to be growing? Am I going to be sitting here with a mountain of produce, and then there's people all around us that all of a sudden don't have the abundance anymore, that can't feed their kids? What are we going to do? Sit there in a little ivory tower eating? Like, no, like, that doesn't work either, right? So yes, we can focus on the actual action around how can we make sure that we are ensuring a long-term sense of safety for our own families and for ourselves, starting to build our lives in a direction that feels sustainable, which for me was the pivot away from the cities, a pivot away from the idea of, like, career, you know, a pivot away from, yeah, even away from technology, like, away from things that don't feel aligned in my heart anymore, and closer toward, yeah, nature and family and growing my own foods and really tending to the land and returning more and more to the way, I guess, my grandparents lived and their parents. A way that, sure, is smaller, right? It's not as grand on paper, but it has a really big impact, right? Instead of going to work somewhere to make a career and kill myself and burn out so I can then make money and then use that to go to the grocery store and buy food and cook food to put on my family's plate, it's like, I'll just grow that food and put it on their plates. Somehow I'm taking a lot of steps away in the in-between and becoming more in touch and more connected with every part of my daily life, right? More connected with my daughter, with the land, with nature, with my family, like, more present there. But again, it doesn't end there. We can't just become preppers and think, how am I gonna how am I going to survive? How am I going to live in 10 years when things are even worse, when everything falls apart? How am I going to be okay? It's like we have to somehow allow ourselves to dwell in our bubbles so that we, like if I didn't go to the woods, if I spent all my time in that deforested area, like I would pull my hair out in despair, right? So I am in the old forest. I am in the old growth forest, and I'm spending that time there so I can expand the bubble of what I can hold and hopefully invite more people into that and introduce more people to these ideas. And maybe from you listening to this podcast, you're like, fuck, I got to get out into the forest. Or maybe you're Swedish or you're living somewhere where there's a big forestry, like a lot of production around... Well, where they are, where there is a lot of deforestation, right? Where that, in Sweden, we call it skogsbruk. It's like the agriculture of the forest. I don't know how to, I don't know that word in English, but where they are processing the forest, right? Maybe you live in that area. Like the woods you're walking in, is it old growth woods? Is it a real wood, you know? Or is it there for production and in 40 years it's gone and nothing ever has time to regenerate? Like what is actually happening in your area and what power do we have to make a change? I don't know what power I have to make a change. I feel really small. Yeah, I can vote. You know, I can choose where I spend my money. I can choose what I talk about on this podcast. There's lots of people listening to this. I can do what I can do. You know, I'm struggling now. Like my dad owns some land with forests on it, and we are in a huge debate. I mean, it's so sensitive that I'm worried it's going to affect our relationship. But because when he bought that land, that property, what the people had always done was work the land, cutting the trees down. And he's like, well, that's what you do. That's what everyone's always done. And I'm like, well, that's what they did. You know, like you bought this land for a lot of reasons. A couple of years ago, there's forests here. You don't have to do what they did. You don't have to do the thing that people do. Like you can be the first one in this line of like stewarding this land that doesn't do it the old way. And that does it the really old way instead, you know, that does it in a way that's truly sustainable. And I haven't been able to convince him yet. And it doesn't mean I'm not going to stop trying, right? Like, I think that's what we can do right now is to somehow like continue moving from the harsh reality of the suffering that's real. And then moving back into the bliss and the beauty and the wholeness and that sense and feeling of the earth beneath your feet and the goodness that is around you, because there's so much goodness around you. Oh my God, there is so much goodness around us, like all around, all over this world. There's so much good. And all we have to do to be reminded of that is walk into the woods, right? Or talk to your kids, talk to any kid, you know, be with your loved ones. Like there's so many daily moments that are gonna forever remind us of this big, big fundamental goodness that is still here. And we have to stay, I think we have to keep more than one foot anchored in the good, you know, like I can't stand in the deforestation and then like look over at the old growth woods. It's like I have to stand in the old growth woods looking over at the deforestation over there so I can stay really grounded as I do the work I need to do to make a change. And then allowing ourselves the grace to be really heartbroken, like to be really sad, to really grieve. I'm grieving. Like I'm grieving the state of these forests. I'm grieving the state of the world, especially, I mean, I really am this week. I'm feeling it every day. I'm grieving this thing in my family where I feel like, I don't know. Like I really have a feeling I was put in Sweden for a reason and maybe I can make a difference here. You know, I have direct people in my family in my life that I could impact, but at the same time, that feels like an impossible thing, you know? The hardest people, the hardest person you can ever try to change someone's mind, I mean, that's got to be, it's got to be your family, right? It's not an easy thing to do, but I'm here and I'm trying. So yeah, if you have a cause that's really close to your heart, and I know you do, maybe it's not even a cause, maybe it's like you love the oceans, like the ocean's your thing, you can't wait for the next moment you're going to get to put your feet in the ocean. You know, maybe you surf and you swim and you're always going to the beach, or like the ocean's like, that's where your heart is. I know for Dennis, like he has such a big piece of his heart in the ocean back home, you know. Like if that's where your heart is, then maybe that's where your work should be, you know. And now this episode became very centered around environment and nature and planet, but there are people who need us every single day on this earth. I mean, maybe specifically now, you know, highlighting what's happening in Iran and this hugely important movement there for liberation. You know, if you've ever cared about feminism a day in your life, if you care about justice, if you care about equality, like that's where your heart should be right now. You know, like there's a piece of your heart that's really invested in something beautiful. And right now in this world, there is some big threat threatening that beautiful thing, threatening that equality, threatening that freedom, threatening that beauty. Like whatever, wherever your heart is, there is a cause that you are so ready to go out there and fight the good fight for. And we can't do that every moment of every day, right? Because then we become a falling apart, crying mess who can't function, which is how I kind of felt this week. But it's okay for you to resource yourself and live your life in your good places, and then stay really anchored and aware and present with the bad places so you can help do something about it. And every little action makes a difference, you know? It does. It does. And alone, we're just one person, but together, there's a lot of us. And I don't think we are as powerless as we sometimes feel. I don't think the state of the world is as hopeless as I feel like it is today. I know it's also my perspective. And hopefully next week I'm back and anchored in the good again. I want to thank you for listening today. I feel like this was a hard, heavy episode. It was for me. So thank you for your presence and for listening and for the actions you take in your daily world to make this world a better place. I love you. I cherish you so much. And I'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.